Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Tuesday, July the 30th in the year of our Lord 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and with me will be Pastor Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. In the popular imagination, Wales is a land of song, with hymns being sung in four-part harmony by coal miners deep underground, and by common folk both in churches and at traditional Welsh hymn festivals. This is one of those hymns, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. It was written by Welsh hymn writer William Williams, died in 1791, often called William Penticillan, after the farm, Penticillan meaning Holly Hollow, where he was raised. He was a leader in the Welsh Methodist movement. Theologically, he was a Calvinist, with Wales preferring a Calvinistic form of Methodism over the Arminian form dominant in England. William's best known hymn is Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. It was first published in 1762 in a collection by Williams under the heading Prayer for Strength to Go Through the World's Wilderness. Stanza 1 is commonly sung in a translation by Peter Williams, who died in 1796. No relation to the author, but an English version attributed to the author himself is used for stanzas 2 and 3. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah Redeemer is the name of the hymn. It's hymn 918 in Lutheran worship. What's your initial reaction to this, Pastor Mark Smith?
Yeah, it's a beautiful hymn. It's one of my favorite hymns. I like to pick it as the exit hymn, and I use it a lot. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I seem to remember hearing somewhere that this was one of the favorite hymns of the late Princess Di.
Oh.
Yeah, I think
I did not know that.
If I remember right, she loved this hymn, or at least she loved the melody. Maybe it was a little slightly different hymn, but I seem to remember that about her, that she really favored this hymn. It is a beautiful hymn, and makes a great exit hymn.
Yeah, what's at the top of the hymn?
Close of service. Yes, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's not too long. It's very sweet, and the melody is very singable. I've always liked it.
Yes. Okay. Let's go with the first stanza, please.
Okay. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more.
So it begins with talking about the Redeemer. Who's the Redeemer?
That's, of course, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
I remember an older version of this hymn, I think as it was in the old Lutheran hymnal. It was, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." And, of course, that name Jehovah was not, I don't know, it was not deemed the best name for God, and they changed it to Redeemer, which I think it's an improvement.
Yes. Yeah, Jehovah is an interesting translation, because the original name that Moses was given for God on Mount Sinai was what? Do you remember?
I am that I am.
And in the original Hebrew?
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Yes. Now, what happened is the Jews never wanted to use the name. Why?
Well, because it was so holy to them that
yes.
they hesitated to mouth it with their own lips.
And do you recall the word they would use when they read that word, Jehovah, Yahweh?
I think it was Adonai, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. And what happened, the Jehovah Witnesses thought that was the name of God, but it was the wrong vowels. And when you put it together, you end up with Jehovah.
Uh-huh, right.
But it was really Yahweh. How do we know the name of God in the English?
How do you know the name of God in English?
Yes. How do you know that we're using the name Yahweh?
Well, of course, we have vowels in our language, but the ancient Hebrews did not use vowels.
Yeah, I'm talking about how the word Lord is spelled.
Capital L-O-R-D.
Capital L, capital O.
Yes, yes.
Capital
all those,
R.
Right,
capital
all those letters
D.
are capitalized. Right.
That's how in the English you know it's referring to Yahweh.
Correct, that's right.
And so it's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. Where does the word Redeemer come from?
Well, of course, it was used in the book of Ruth, speaking of Boaz, when Ruth
right.
told, when Naomi, mother-in-law, told her daughter-in-law, Ruth, Boaz is our Redeemer.
And what did that mean? He was
that
our
meant,
what?
That meant that he's our relative that could cover us financially. That's the
yes.
best way I can say it. Yes.
How is Jesus Redeemer?
Jesus is our Redeemer because he's bought us back from sin, death, and the devil. He's suffered for all of our sins. He's exchanged all of our sinfulness with his robe of righteousness, so we are covered. All of our sins are washed away in holy baptism, and we are now his. He is our Redeemer. He's bought us back from sin, death, and the devil.
Yes, the word Redeemer was used in Jesus' day to refer to the purchase of someone out of slavery.
Right.
So how are we slaves?
We're slaves to sin.
Yes. And how does the hymn talk about this? It talks about the metaphor of being a pilgrim.
Right.
What's a pilgrim?
Pilgrim is a wanderer. He's headed for home through this barren land. It's references to Old Testament Israel leaving bondage in Egypt and wandering to the promised land.
Excellent. I am weak, but thou art mighty. What's the attribute of God that's talking about?
His almightiness.
Yes. Now, Luther explained that in The Bondage of the Will. What does almighty mean?
God is able to do whatever he wants to do. He will not sin because he does not want to do that. But he's able to accomplish. He holds everything in his powerful hand. Everything is under his control, and he's able to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, I got a different interpretation in Bondage of the Will.
Okay.
Almighty means what the word says. What are the two words made up for almighty?
All and mighty.
Yes, he has all might.
All power.
In other words, he is the creator of the world.
Right, that's right. Creator of the whole universe.
Yes. How is Jesus almighty?
In the same way. He's at the helm of the whole universe. Christ, God has placed him over all.
And what phrase in this first stanza refers to that? It begins with, "Hold me."
Hold me with thy powerful hand. Is that speaking? I'm wondering. Is that speaking of Christ Himself? It addresses the Redeemer, but then it says, "Hold me with thy powerful hand."
But what follows right after that?
Bread of heaven, which is Christ.
Yes. So the bread of heaven is the powerful hand of Jesus. Feed me till I want no more. What is that talking about?
Well, that's reference to, actually, the text that it's referring to is John chapter 6, where, Jesus says,
I'm the bread of life. Yes.
This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever.
Yeah, what was the bread from heaven that they ate and it stopped coming down from heaven?
That's the manna that God provided for them in the wilderness.
Yes. Do you recall what the word manna meant?
What is it?
Yes, well
what
said.
What is it? That's what they went out and saw it for the first time. Manna, what is this?
And that continued to come down from heaven until they got to the land of Canaan.
Right.
Why did it stop at the land of Canaan?
Well, of course, the land of Canaan was the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And, of course, there they could just live off the land.
Well said. All right. Stanza 2, please.
Okay. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield.
So, you've got a lot of metaphors here.
Yes.
The first one being the crystal fountain.
Yeah, that is referring to chapter in Exodus. Is it 13 or 15 that refers to the waters at Marah, which were bitter, but the Lord made them sweet, that the people of Israel could drink from them.
Exactly. And that's how God took care of their thirst. Now, when we talk about the crystal fountain today, what do you think we're referring to?
We're referring there. I think there's also a reference to what Jesus, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he says, whoever drinks of this water, and he's speaking here of the gospel of life, the water of life. He says, whoever drinks of this water will become a well of water, welling up unto eternal life.
It talks about whence the healing stream doth flow.
That's right.
What's that referring to?
The healing stream is the gospel.
No.
Okay, Tom, you tell me.
Baptism.
Oh, of course. Of course. Well, the baptism is pure gospel, Tom. So it's not a wrong answer that I gave you. It's just a little different way of looking at it. But you're right. That's definitely a reference to baptism.
Then it moves to the metaphor, let the fiery, cloudy pillar. What's that talking about?
Well, that's the pillar of fire. Let's see, a pillar of fire by night, and the pillar it was a pillar of cloud by day. That was the God's presence with the children of Israel as they were about to cross through the sea. He parted the waters of the sea, and his presence was actually that's Christ's presence there in the Old Testament.
Yes.
That's the angel of the Lord appearing in the Old Testament in the form of a fiery, cloudy pillar.
And what was its purpose?
Its purpose was to stand between the chariots of Israel and the chariots of Egypt and the children of Israel as they were about to cross. It protected them. It held off the chariots of Egypt, at least until they could get across. And it also served as their guide.
Yes, because lead me all my journey through.
That's right.
So, where do you think today in worship is the cloudy pillar leading us through our journey?
Well, throughout our earthly life. That's through this barren land.
That the healing stream was baptism.
Yes.
What's the cloudy pillar?
Well, I don't know. Would you say the Lord's Supper?
Yes.
I hadn't thought of the Lord's Supper in connection with that metaphor, but it's certainly the Lord's Supper is certainly one of the sacraments, and certainly does guide us all our journey through. But that's interesting. I've never thought of the Lord's Supper in connection with that metaphor of the fiery, cloudy pillar.
Well, what is the last line of stanza two?
Okay, let me look here. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield.
And where does that language come about, shield?
Well, I would say, now that's speaking of the fiery, cloudy pillar is essentially Christ appearing in the Old Testament. He is our strength and our shield.
And specifically, the word shield occurs in the armor.
Right. The armor in the New Testament. And also, I think there's a reference to it in Psalm 46.
Yes. Okay, stanza three.
When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
Now, what's the verge of Jordan?
Well, that's the verge of Jordan is that the when the children of Israel were about to enter the promised land of Canaan, they had to cross the Jordan River, and there it was right before them. And remember, they carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of them, and as they crossed, the waters held up and let them cross, much like the parting of the Red Sea.
Yes, there was a separation.
Right.
And they went across on dry land.
That is right, yes.
Why would they have anxious fears?
Well, I know the spies, there were spies that were sent ahead of them to scout out the promised land before the whole group entered. And they said, you know, these people inhabiting, these people that are inhabiting this land of Canaan, they're huge and they're mighty. And he says, we feel like, didn't they say, we feel like grasshoppers compared to them?
Right. How many years was that before they entered the land?
40 years.
Yep. God returned them into the wilderness for 40 years. So you can understand how they were anxious and fearful to enter such a land.
Yeah, and one of the first cities that they came to was Jericho. And, of course, we've all heard about those mighty walls of Jericho.
Yes. What occasion is this talking about for us?
It's talking about when we finally arrive at the new heaven and new earth, at heaven.
Excellent.
Right.
Because death of death and hell's destruction. Why did that occur?
Well, the death of death was Christ's own resurrection from the grave on Easter morning. That's the death of death. He's conquered death by his cross and by his empty tomb. And hell is nothing that we need to fear any longer.
Have you ever in a sermon talked about going to heaven as landing on Canaan's side?
I've certainly been aware of that metaphor of Canaan. I can't say I've used it. I can't say that I've used Canaan a whole lot in that way, but I certainly recognize that that is a helpful use of that metaphor. that the promised land. When we speak, I think I usually use the verbiage of the promised land.
Yes. Because in the promised land, there's no need any longer for manna, because we receive all that we need for food and drink and shelter and home, etc.
Yes.
We are members of what then?
We're members. We're members of Christ's bride, the church.
Exactly. The Holy Christian Church. That would be a good sermon to have about, are you ready to cross into Canaan?
Yeah, in fact, this is one of those hymns that would, if you're going to preach a series of sermons on Scripture and use the hymns as kind of an ongoing theme, this would be a good use of that hymn.
Particularly since it's a close of service hymn.
Right. Right.
And the close of service would be referring to our entering into heaven.
That's right. Yes. That's, you always want your people to end on that victorious note. You want them walking out of that church service knowing heaven, with all of my sins forgiven in Jesus, heaven is mine.
Thank you very much, Pastor Smith, in helping us with the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. It's the hymn for this coming Sunday, and we'll take a look at another passage tomorrow. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.